Today, we're giving a class from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I just have a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's tikka here, without Srila Prabhupada's, and it is the following. This is, yes, from chapter 13 of the first canto, Dhritarashtra leaves home, and Narada Muni is talking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he says, O king, give up your agitation arising from ignorance, thinking, how will they, suffering and without protection, live without me? And as I said, I didn't have Prabhupada's purport in front of me, but it's a relatively short purport, and Prabhupada's just elaborating on the fact that Krishna is the ultimate controller, and that aside from performing our duties, no one can really do anything to save anyone else or to help anyone else. That doesn't mean that we don't try to help others or don't try to save others, but it stays within the framework of performing one's prescribed duty. And then if you act, you will go over and above or beyond your duty, what is described in Upadeshamrita as over endeavor, then that becomes foolishness. Here, Narada Muni actually says that Yudhisthira Maharaj is influenced by agyan, or ignorance. Of course, Yudhisthira Maharaj is transcendentally situated, so there's no question of ignorance on his part. And yet at the same time, out of family affection, and also because he's doing his duty as the emperor, which is to give protection. And then sometimes in the momentum of that type of conduct, one goes over and beyond the call of duty. It's a good phrase, English phrase, over and beyond the call of duty. And then, of course, even further than that is going to excess. In other words, trying to combat the inevitable, trying to fight with destiny. And that is why duty is Srila Prabhupada's call word in this purport, because when one's performing one's duty, and of course you need to know what your duty is, when one's performing dharma, then one will not get into conflict with dharma, or one will not get into conflict with fate, which is ultimately Krishna's will. So, for instance, Yudhisthira Maharaj's dharma was to give protection, and he's meant to give protection to people under all circumstances. However, earlier on in the conversation, Vidura had pointed out to Dhritarashtra that his dharma was to actually atone for the many offenses that he'd committed to the Pandavas, and to Krishna and to people in general, and also to try and purify himself and make the best out of a very miserable life which he led. And therefore his dharma at that stage of life, really at the end of life, was to actually retire. Yudhisthira Maharaj wasn't keeping in balance these two different duties of two different individuals and not prioritizing them, and that was due to affection, excessive affection, or Narada Muni says, ignorance. So when we're influenced by the modes of nature, then we lose perspective of what dharma is. So actually the dharma of Dhritarashtra to leave home and to get out from under those who he persecuted, practically speaking, all his life, was much higher principle than Yudhisthira Maharaj worrying about how is his uncle and aunt going to eat, where they're going to stay. Now it was in the hands of the Lord to take care of that, and it was time for Dhritarashtra to finally put himself in the hands of fate, whereas all his life he was just fighting fate. The fact that he was born blind meant you can't be king. And yet he couldn't accept that hand of fate, and he tried to fight it all of his life. And what was the result of his, that was really, again, is that he was just simply became embroiled in sinful activities. So rather than recognizing, yes, what is my duty now as a blind king, I should just retire and resign, and at most be in a role of an advisor, rather than trying by all means to either directly be the king or to be the king through Duryodhan, who was a demon, who was a partial expansion of Kali. Just recently, I was just, I don't know what I was, what reference I was looking through, but it was actually mentioned there. Oh yes, it actually was Krishna describing the different associates and who they were, and who they were expansions of, or who they were either in the spiritual world or material world. And Krishna was saying that Duryodhan will appear as he's a partial expansion of Kali. So it's incumbent upon us to have the intelligence, the spiritual intelligence, to know how to perform what our prescribed duty is when circumstances and fate take over, and we need to actually retire from any type of so-called effort, as in the case of Yudhisthira Maharaj. Another example that comes to mind was also Yudhisthira Maharaj's affinity for being truthful. And being truthful is certainly dharma. It's part of our duty. Our duty is to be truthful. Samadhamastapasocham shantirajamavivacha. Brahminical life, and especially a king whose whole administration is based on others having faith in him, and faith is based on acting truthfully and being able to depend on someone's word. If you can't have trust in what someone says, then you won't have trust at all. So truthfulness, therefore, is very important. Truthfulness, one thing is someone doesn't tell a lie, and the other one is that when they say something, then they fulfill that. And particularly Kshatriyas were very particular that when they gave their word or said something, just like, I hope I don't lose the thread of this, but just like Arjuna took a vow that anyone who shed, if Yudhisthira Maharaj's blood touches the ground, then he would immediately kill him. And when Yudhisthira Maharaj, after their exile was finished, and he was then actually playing dice with Maharaj Draupada, and Maharaj Draupada got angry at Yudhisthira Maharaj and threw the dice at him, and it caused his forehead to bleed, and immediately Draupadi came running up. They didn't know who Draupadi and the Yudhisthira Maharaj were connected at that time, because they were all living incognito. And she immediately used her sari to keep the blood from touching the ground. And just at that time, Arjuna walked in from having single-handedly defeated all of the kings. Actually, it wasn't like that. Arjuna had already come back with the prince, and the king had thought that it was the prince who defeated the enemies, and Yudhishthira Maharaj pointed out that no, it wasn't, it was Arjuna, and because he got angry at that, so anyway, Draupadi immediately caught Yudhishthira Maharaj's blood from touching the ground, because Arjuna's vow was that he would have then immediately killed Maharaj Drupada. So they were very placed so much importance on telling the truth and sticking to their word. That's a very good quality. Same example again with the Pandavas, and I'm getting caught up in telling pastimes of Pandavas. When they were married, all the brothers were married to Draupadi, and they had this vow that no one would, that she would always be with one husband at a time, and none of the others would interfere, and if they did, they had to go for a year exile. But this story is good because it's also relevant about duty. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was with Draupadi, and a Brahmin came that his cows were being stolen by some dacoits, and came to Arjuna, but Arjuna's bow was with Draupadi. It was in the house, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was in the house, so the only choice that he had was to go in. So once again, here's a question of conflict and duty. One is, he had the duty to protect the Brahmins, and another one is to keep his word. In this case, he considered that it was more important for him to actually protect the property of a Brahmin than to risk going into exile. So he did go in, he did the needful, but then afterwards, even though Yudhishthira Maharaj protested, Arjuna said, no, I gave my word. This is our agreement. We all agreed that if one of us goes in when the other one is alone with Draupadi, then they have to go into a year in exile. So then Arjuna went for a year in exile. So keeping one's word is such an important thing, and I'm just going to come back to Yudhishthira Maharaj being truthful. So Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that this was his duty, his dharma, being very truthful. But then Krishna said, no, now you have to lie and say that Ashwatthama is dead. And Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that, wrongly thought, that no, his real duty, his real dharma was to remain truthful, and therefore he both hesitated and sort of qualified Krishna's request. So in the ultimate issue, we have to see, getting back to giving protection to others and being concerned for others' welfare. We need to perform our duty, we need to act according to our duty, but when we've done our duty to each other, whether that be a king to his subjects, or husband to a wife, or parents to children, or guru to disciples, then over and beyond that, there's no need for either lamenting or trying to go over and above the call of duty, because we can't change other people's fate or karma. Neither can we actually give protection over and beyond what duty allows us to do. In other words, what dharma allows us to do, because everyone's in Krishna's hands. Thus, the person that we really need to go all out for deliver is the person whose fate we do have in our hands, which is ourselves. And that's why our primary duty in all circumstances is to become Krishna conscious. And here, the very important pointed is also being made in this verse, and Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport, is that our real business is being Krishna conscious. That's our primary duty. We may think that we have so many other duties to so many other persons, and in the meantime lose so much of the very little and very valuable time that we have in this world, every minute of which we need in order for us to be Krishna conscious. Our own fate we can change. We have our fate in our hands, that we can ensure that we go back home, back to Godhead. And as far as other people are concerned, it doesn't matter who you are, all you can do is just give them the knowledge and the opportunity to perfect their own lives, to take good advice, to strike out on the path back home, back to Godhead. But you can't do anything more than that. So we can try to help others, but more than giving them the instruments whereby they actually help themselves, which is knowledge, transcendental knowledge, wisdom, good advice. One shouldn't become too overwhelmed when others don't necessarily heed one's advice. Krishna was very detached when he was speaking to Arjuna. He says, okay, now I told you, now you do whatever you want. I know that sometimes in the role either of a GBC or a spiritual master, one is very attached to others following advice, sometimes we say following instruction. We have very clear and very strong guidelines about how, for instance, disciples are meant to follow the orders of the spiritual master, but it doesn't always happen. If we become too attached to that, we become distracted, too attached to what's going to happen to such and such person. Whatever is going to happen is up to them. Nothing you can do other than give guidance. I think that becomes very clear to people as they march forward in life and take responsibility in different ways. For parents, parents always want the best for their children, but children end up doing whatever they want anyway. Sometimes they decide that they're going to listen, and often they're not. And once again, one can't be overly concerned, but one has to see what it is that we can do for ourselves and ensure that we're at least giving ourselves the opportunity for perfecting our lives and taking advantage of those opportunities and not allowing again or ignorance to overwhelm us in any particular way. And yes, I was just quoting one, I quoted in the class, one anecdote that Keshav Bharti Maharaj sort of repeats, and that's when he was once with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was chanting his japa, and he turned to the devotees and told them, he says, you should become very attached to chanting Hare Krishna, to chanting the japa, because one day you'll have nothing else other than your bead bag, or you have nothing else than the Maha Mantra. So that's the fact, that's the reality, and that is our main duty, our paro dharma, is perfecting our Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.